Amen. I want to preach. I won't be too long this morning. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I think I'm just kind of picking up where Brother Valentine left off, talking about the sons of God. Could we read this together? Read it with me. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Paul continues to write, he said, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. There is a connection. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. The Spirit, the capital Spirit, you see that is capitalized. That's the Spirit of God. Itself beareth witness with our spirit. Spirit talks to spirit, the little spirit. That we are the children of God. I am that peculiar people. I am that chosen generation. And if children, guess what? Then heirs. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. I fellowship with Christ. What he gets, I get. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And Paul said, for I reckon. Now, this isn't like we say in the South, well, I reckon. This is the counting. He's counting. He says it's time, because he's talking about suffering. He said, if we got to suffer, we can't have the glory, the crown without the cross. We can't have the glory without the suffering. So let's count it up. Let's just see. For I reckon, because Paul's been through a lot. You know, for us, we've been through a lot. Somebody said something about us. Somebody, you know, didn't treat us right. But Paul had been beaten. He had to reckon this thing. He said, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He said, I'm going to balance this thing out. And I realized by reckoning it, reconciling it, that the suffering that I'm going to go through, that I've already been through, I shouldn't even compare that to what I'm going to have in glory that will be revealed. Because I understand that through the suffering, I can't have glory without suffering. Therefore, I no need to count the suffering. Let's count the glory. Then he goes on, verse 22 said, after he reckoned this, he said, for we know. See, now I know. So you can't really know anything until you reconcile it, like your bank statement. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. There's a lot of pain even in this church. People having struggles in their life. He said, I know that. And I know this in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. These two things I know. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of suffering. There's a lot of agony. There's losses of lives and losses of friends and relationships. But he said, this I know. On top of that, knowing that we have pain, I know it's working together for the good according to his purpose. Then he goes down to verse 38 and he says, for I am persuaded. You got to get there. The reckoning, you got to go through the reckoning. You got to go through, now I know. But you got to get to the persuasion part. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor things I don't even know that's coming, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to sever us from the love of God, which Christ in Christ Jesus our Lord. I am persuaded. Hallelujah. Thank God I reckoned it. I know it. And now I'm persuaded I'm going to make it somehow. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to talk for a little while this morning about the right connections. The right connections. God, help us this morning to understand your word. Lord, if it's not made flesh, we don't understand it. But when it's made flesh and we apply it to our lives, we can live it. Hallelujah. Let us reckon it, know it, and be persuaded that you can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to your will in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I just had some side notes before I start preaching this morning that I was just thinking that, you know, everyone, close your eyes. Okay. Now all you can do is hear me, right? You can't see me. You can't see Sister Tevia's reactions if she was up here. And you can't see Brother Ken's reactions. You can't see Brother Gidro's reactions. You can't see your neighbor's reactions. You got to go by what you hear. The just shall walk by what? Now you can open your eyes. You see, all these things you see are temporal and they're distractions. That's why when I sit up here, I don't want to look at y'all. Because somebody's getting up, somebody's rubbing their nose, and somebody's whispering, somebody's... And it, I can't worship looking at you. Can I just talk for a little while before I start preaching? But when I close my eyes, I just don't see y'all. So I just feel the Lord. And I just feel him so much better when I don't see things. Because these other things distract you. God bless everybody that sits on the back. God bless y'all. I'm a front row guy. Because what happens, I'm not really criticizing, but the watchers sit in the back. And the observers. But the kingdom of heaven does not come by observation. You don't get it that way. See, faith is access, and faith is blindness. Faith is blindness. You can't see anything going on behind you. Nothing. So it doesn't distract you. It can't because you don't see it. But if we're not careful, we watch everybody's emotions. We watch everybody, how they do this, and you don't get nothing out of church. Not a thing. And neither do you participate. Because you're busy watching everybody else. And that's why the just shall walk by faith. Faith is blindness. It's blindness. And we don't understand. Faith is access to God. So blindness is access to God. Am I trying to teach you something this morning or not? If you can see it, he said, why hope for it? You already have it. But if I don't have it, you got to lead me to it, God. God, I need you, Jesus. I don't know where I'm at in life. And he leads you. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God because they're blind. Yes. Being blind is a blessing in church. Because all you can do is feel it. I just feel like something good is about to happen. And I don't have to watch what y'all do or anybody else. Something good is on its way. Boy, I'm feeling it, you know. But you look at other people, they'll get you out of the feeling. See, faith, we have this misconception. Can I ramble just a little longer? We have this misconception about faith. Because we think faith is this, boy, I'm building up my faith. Boy, my faith is high now. You know why and it's wrong. We talk about how high our faith is because what happens is we're getting closer to seeing it. Okay? And we think our faith is building. It's not. It's like if we had a prayer line here and you're the last one and everybody got healed. Well, by the time you get down here, you don't need much faith. But what you're going to say is, boy, my faith's getting built up now because they got healed. My faith is building up. No, it's not. It's going down because if you were the only one in line and none of them got their healing, you'd have to have great faith to get healed. You see, that's why Jesus got on the boat and he looked at them and he's standing on the water. Lord, if that's you, now bid me to come. He said, well, come on. And when he got in the boat, he scolded them and said, "Oh, ye of little faith." And you wonder, why did he say little faith? Because he turned to them and said, "Did you not consider the loaves and the bread? I just multiplied, fed 5,000. Your faith ought to be..." And we have it backwards. It shouldn't take much faith to see him walking on the water and understand he can calm the seas too. So that the centurion comes to Jesus. He's a Gentile. He's an outcast. He has a sick servant. It's not even him. What's the chances of Jesus coming to my house? I'm just going to send a servant to ask him to come. And he doesn't even go himself. He sends his servant and says, "My master has a sick servant at his house. And he's asking you to just speak the word only, and my servant will be made whole." And he said, "No greater faith have I seen. No, not in all of Israel." Because what was the chances of that happening? Almost zero. He was a Gentile. Jesus said, "I will come." He said, "No, you don't need to come. Just speak the word." So we have this misconception. Are you with me this morning? About faith. We think our faith is building. But what happens is you get closer to seeing it. You think your faith is rising. No, it's going away. Faith is when nobody else gets their healing and you still believe. I still believe. Hallelujah. If there's not but one going to get healed this morning, it's going to be me. Faith is access. And that's why I'm asking about closing your eyes. You've got to, if you really want faith, you have got to close your eyes. Close your eyes to what people say, what they do, how they react, and all these things. And you will begin now to tap into what you can't see. For the things that are seen were not made from things which do appear. They were spoken. Hallelujah. The word cannot be seen. It is spoken. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. That's how it comes. Now I can preach. Hallelujah. Because faith is a connection to God. Boy, this front row ought to be full next Sunday. I'm telling you, everybody ought to be sitting up here. Some Sundays I feel like putting my podium back there and say, "Y'all turn around." So I have it closer back there. Looks like you moved up. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Now you see, you can't see what's going on behind you. That's a blessing. You know, if I was the devil, can I ramble some more? I mean, it might be the last sermon I ever preach. You never know. If I was the devil, you see, well, the first thing I would try to do is to get you not to come to church. I would try to everything I can, say, "Well, I really don't feel good this morning. Now arthritis is kicking up, you know." And I'd try everything I could to get you not to come to church. But if you made it anyway, then the next thing I want to do is distract you so that you don't hear anything. Because I know how faith comes. It comes by hearing. So I want to make sure you don't hear anything. If I was the devil, you see, I would put a snotty-nosed kid right in front of you who eats his boogers. That'll do it, won't it? And you won't hear one blessed thing the preacher says. That's what I would do if I was the devil. And wipe it like on his sleeves. See, that's what I'm telling you. And it would distract you so that you wouldn't hear one word that could help you avoid hellfire. Now, if that didn't work and you still was listening through all that, the next thing I would do was make you believe he's not preaching to me. I go, "Boy, he's hitting Joey this morning. Ooh, hallelujah." And I would make you think that it's not me. But I remind you that as they sat around the table on the Last Supper, he said, "One of you shall betray me." And Brother Jake, what did they say? Is it I? And they started with one guy saying, I mean, here they are, they walked with Christ all these years and they're still not certain that they wouldn't betray him.
to even ask the question, one of you will betray me. And they started, is it I? And the last one to say, is it I, was Judas. I would make you think that he's not preaching to me and saying that it's not me, it's not me. And what the words of God would just shed off of you like water on a duck's back. Now I can preach. In case you haven't figured life out yet, and many people have not, it's all about the right connections. It's all about, Brother Gidrose, you're here because I had a connection to another man who knew you. You had a connection. You have a connection. You have. Everybody has connections to somebody else. Living for God and life is all about having the right people in your life and the right connections and the right people at the right time. I'm sure all of you have played the game called connecting the dots. Right? And I went online, just, you know, Google, and I wanted to see, you know, those old games we used to play. So they had them for beginners, and it said connect the dots for beginners. Well, Lord, you could tell it was a duck without connecting the dots. Because the dots were so close together that all you had to do is, I didn't need to go by number. Just, I know it's a duck. I knew it was a rose. I knew it was a king. I knew it was a crown. I knew whatever it was because it was for beginners. But then I went to advance and Lord, what is that? But it starts with one dot to another dot. To another connection, to another connection. And you may not know what it is till you get to the last dot. We have got to learn to connect the dots as God gives them to us. Joseph had a dream, and it was the ending dot. Son, are you telling me your mom and I are going to give obeisance to you? That's what his father's asking. His brothers hate him. Daddy, I don't know how to connect the dots. I really don't. I don't know how this is going to happen. I really don't know. But this is the dream I had. But let's connect the dots. They hated him. Took his coat of many colors. Ripped it up. Showed the father. And he said, oh, a wild, ravenous beast has devoured my son. Threw him in a pit. Connect the dots. Then he goes, guess what? He goes to Pharaoh's house, Potiphar's house. He goes to the dungeon, back to Potiphar's house, back to the dungeon, back to Pharaoh's house. But in the end, but when you connect the last dot, he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. I didn't understand that. I just had to walk by faith all this time. I didn't know. I wasn't complaining, but I didn't know what my life was going to be like. I would go up in power. I'd go down in power. I was the governor, and then I was in prison. And then even Potiphar's wife tried to get me, nailed. And all these things I went through, I didn't understand it. But now I do, and I'm not mad at you anymore. I'm going to tell you something. I ain't mad at nobody this morning. There was times in my life I was pretty angry with some people. But now that I've connected the dots, woo, hallelujah, I'm so happy that that was part of my life because it moved me to the next dot and to the next dot and the next dot. Hallelujah. And I'm still connecting the dots. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. The anointing is what brings you from one dot to the next dot. And just like David's life, nobody knew him, but he had an anointing, and that anointing would bring him to his brothers in battle, who to bring them cheese and to wine, to killing the giant. From killing the giant, he goes to the palace to be the king that he was anointed to be. But he doesn't know anything about being a king. He knows things like shoveling dung and weed eaters and all this kind of barbed wire fences. He doesn't know anything about royalty and purple and servants and all. He was the servant. What does he know? But guess what? When he gets there, he has a connection, Jonathan. And Jonathan says, here, let me teach you what I know about the kingdom. And here you are worried, oh God, I can't do it. I just don't know how to do it. Oh, I can't be a king, Lord. All I know is about shepherd. Just connect the dot. And when he got there, Jonathan said, I can teach you everything you need to know about how to behave wisely in front of the people. And there's always somebody there that God will send the right place, the right time to connect the dots. Oh, what? I'm telling you, Elisha knew more about plowing than he did prophecy. They had a school called the Sons of the Prophet. Did you know every gift that God gives out, you still have to exercise that gift? You still have to exercise. He gives it to you, but the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So you still have to exercise these gifts till you get better at them. I give you a gift, a pogo stick, give you that a gift. Well, you better practice before you go jumping down the road. But that's the gift I give you. And so Christ, God gives us gifts. And every good gift and every perfect gift come from above. But you have to practice them. And sometimes you get it right and sometimes you don't get it right. But you have to practice. And they had the school of the prophets where they were practicing to be prophets. And the guy on the plow didn't know nothing. He didn't know doodly squat about prophesying. But there was a connection. And the man who did had a mantle. And he come by, he threw it over him, and that anointing hit him. Boom. And when the anointing hit him, he said, let me go kiss my mom and my dad goodbye, and I'm going to follow you. You are my connection to what I always wanted to be in Christ and never knew I could be in Christ. And let me tell you, for every Paul, there's an Ananias, and for every Timothy, there's a Paul. There's going to be a connection to somebody that will bring you to the next level. Whoo, hallelujah. We spend too much time saying, I can't do it. All I know is how to do the plow. I don't know how to prophesy. Too much time when we need to pray, God, send me the right connection. Send me the right person to teach me, not give me, teach me. What did Elijah say? He didn't say, here, here's my mantle. Here's my prophecy. Take off. You're the next guy. No. What he did, he said, follow me. And if you see me when I go, then you can be anointed like I'm anointed with that double portion you want. And every time he'd get ready to go, he'd tell him, he'd say, well, I'm going to just cross Jordan. I'm going to the Dollar General. I'll be right back. He'd say, no. It might happen when I'm not there. So I'm going with you to the Dollar General. He wasn't going to let him. Am I teaching you something this morning? Wasn't going to let him out of his sight, because it might happen when I don't see it. And all this rest of the time I've been following him and I miss it. It's kind of like I went to one baseball game in my life and the score was 1-0. And it happened when I was at the hot dog stand. I finally decided baloney on this boring baseball. I don't like baseball. What am I doing here? A friend brought me there or something. I'm going to go watch the Astros play years and years and years and years ago. And I finally said, hey, I'm going to get me a Coke. I mean, it was boring. I heard the crowd in the background. Yeah! I look, home run. That's the only score. I don't want to miss it. I don't want you to miss it. It may be the one sermon that you hear that changes your life forever, and you're going, well, I really don't feel too good this morning. Push yourself. You hear me? Elisha had to push himself because he's afraid he'd miss it. Boy, I'm rough on this, some of these last sermons here. I'll be glad when 2015 gets here. When God, listen close, you might want to write this down. Because when God wants to bless you, he will add new people, new connections to your life. When God wants to bless you, I've always seen this to be the case, he puts new people in your life. And when God wants to protect you, he subtracts people from your life. See, new people can bring you to places that the old people could never take you, or you'd already be there. So if he wants to protect you, he'll take these people out that keep hindering you and pulling you back. And there's nothing worse than a hindrance and an interference. And sometimes you need to learn how to disconnect from people. You understand that? You need to quit holding on and disconnect from people. Sever some relationships, especially the ones that are interfering with your life and your walk with Christ. There's nothing worse than interference in a connection. There's nothing worse. What? Say that again. I'm not getting but half of what you say. Nothing worse. And what happens is it keeps you hanging on. Oh, this is good. Are you still there? Say that out by the screen door now. Can you hear me now? Wait. Let me go over here. Honey, hang up. Hang up. Because all this does is keeps you hanging on. And you, I don't understand you and you don't understand me. So why we keep talking? Oh, he just don't understand me. Well, quit talking to him. And call me back when you got a clear channel. Call me back when you get all the interferences out of your life. Because as long as there's interferences and we still got a connection, we're still trying to communicate, but we're not understanding each other. And all we do, we have false hope that maybe if I get over here, it'll be better. If I get over here, it'll be better. Get those people out of your life that keep interfering with your life. And if they ever get their life right, bring them back into your fold, if you will. But if they're interfering, I don't care if it's ma-in-law, pop-in-law, whoever it is, if they're interfering with your life, you cut them off. Because they keep you holding on. Whew. Keep thinking it's going to get better. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. And it keeps you, and you're wasting precious time. Whew. So quit calling me as long as you got a bad connection. And when you get to where there's a good connection, call me back. Because it's all about the right connections. Anything meaningful in life always happened because there was a good connection. A good connection. I've looked at satellite dishes before, and I've seen people out in their yard, and they got their cell phone like this, you know. Is that better? Oh, no? Okay. How about that? No? Okay. And you can turn that satellite dish any direction you want to turn it. But until it points toward the satellite, until it points to the place where the signal's coming from, you will never receive it. Oh, you will never. Yeah, you have the receiver. People put their receivers out all the time. But I'm telling you, you won't receive anything as long as you're not walking by faith. That's why I said about closing your eyes. You can't receive things with distractions. Oh, that I might serve him, Paul said, without distractions. And so you can turn that all you want to, but until you will never get a good connection until you point it to where the signal's coming from. And then when you do, you establish what's called a channel. You know what a channel is? Brother, you know what a channel is? Two bodies of water, and there's a channel. You can go both ways. It's the transponder relationship where you can go both ways. And so what we're wanting is as a reception with Christ so that it goes both ways. That's why the spirit talks to spirit. But if you're in the flesh trying to talk to the spirit, it's not going to work. It doesn't receive it. It doesn't understand it. So cut the connection off or get the thing focused to where it is, where the signal is coming from. Too many people want to receive things from God without the proper connection, even the Holy Ghost. And they all received. He said, go into Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Receive power. The power from on high. And they tarried there in prayer. There it is. And they all received the Holy Ghost because they established the right connection. Prayer is your connection. Even when Christ was fixing to die, he went and prayed. And what did he do? He left James and John, Peter, James and John behind because he didn't want to see them sleeping. See what I'm talking about? Closing your eyes. How am I going to pray watching them sleep? I went 3 times, tried to wake them up, and they wouldn't. I said, sleep on. I can't worry about you either. And he went up to the mountain and prayed. He said, my soul is exceedingly in trouble. He was trying to receive something because his hour had come. The best connections that there are on earth and form a life, if you will, is that of a parent and a child. And in the Bible, it talks about mostly a father and a son. It's the best connection there could ever be. So our text scripture, I've gone all this to bring you to this. Our text scripture says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The beauty of having a son is something that is born unto you as an infant. You get it from a child. Therefore, you can train it up in the way that it should go. And when it's old, it won't depart from it. I can lead my son. I can't lead your son. See, I'm talking about connections. I can lead my son because he's my son. I raised him. As a father, I can lead him. As a son, I can correct him. As a son, I can love him. I can honor him. I can train him. And I only can do this because we have the right connection. Let me train your son and see how you like it. You'll be rebuking me. But I can train my son and chastise him, for the Bible says that a father that chastises his son loves him. So how's he going to lead me? He's going to lead me because I receive his spirit. And he's that transmitter. I'm the receiver. So we have this relationship. It's a father and a son relationship. So that he says in verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. See, I have now been born into this kingdom, and now he can rebuke me, chastise me, encourage me, honor me. He can do all these things because he can lead me. You can't. He can lead me because I am his son. The Spirit itself beareth witness of our spirit that we are the children of God. You see, his spirit can speak, my spirit can speak back. See, my son looks up to me, which he should. I looked up to my father, which I should. I should. And we all look up to God or to Christ, because we should. And if children, then heirs. Oh, my God. You see, everything I got, I know 2 kids that's going to get it. Little or much, whatever it is that's left, they get because of the connection. Your sons don't get it. My son gets it. My daughter gets it. And neither do mine get yours because the connection's not right. I'm trying to let you understand that the connection that we have with God is unreal. It's unbelievable. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we will suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now, the heirs, listen close, the heirs are the ultimate receiver. If you have an IRA, a 401k, a will, and even if you don't have a will written, the state has one for you. And you know who gets your stuff, unless you say differently, is your children. That's who gets your stuff. They are the ultimate receiver of everything that the Father has. So that Christ was the ultimate receiver of everything. Jesus said, all power and earth is given unto me. And you and I are now born into his kingdom so that you and I are heirs and joint heirs so that we will share with him in his glory if we will share with him in his suffering. After Paul declares that we are heirs and joint heirs, again, he began to reckon. And then he began to say, I just counted it all up and now I realize this is what I know. We're all hurting. We all have pain. It's not just me. Paul realized, he said, the whole earth groans. And we think it's just me. Oh, Lord, I got more problems than you just don't want to know the problems I got. Well, I got problems too. The whole earth has problems. That's what I know. But then after he sized up what he knows, Brother and Sister Woodard, he said, nothing shall separate me. Nothing I've been through, nothing I don't even know what I'm going to go through, no principality, no power, things present or things to come. I got a great connection. I am connected. You ever somebody say, boy, I'm connected to them. You see those two lovebirds talking right there? See, it distracted me. Y'all are connected. They connected. See how close they still sitting? How many years y'all been married? 51. Still sitting like they was dating. They're connected. I'm telling you, nothing's going to separate them. Nothing. 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 And that's what Paul is saying. I am so connected to Christ that nothing will separate me from the love that he's given me. I am persuaded. I'm not turning back. I'm not giving up. You can leave me, John Mark, if you want to. Demas hath left me, having loved this present world. That's not going to stop my journey. I'm going to just send John Mark because I'm still going to go on my journey. He'll be profitable this time. Last time he wasn't so profitable, but now he's learned, he's matured. Send him again. He disconnected from him one time. He reconnected with him later. It is God's Spirit that leads me. No wonder David said, lead me beside the still waters. It is him that lead me beside the still waters. And he restores my signal. He restores my soul. Refreshes me. As they come this morning, somehow we only think that good things happen when the Spirit leads us. Can I say this? You have to be careful how you pray. Because there's so many times people pray for something, and when that happens, they say, God answered my prayer. It may not be that he answered your prayer at all. Just because you prayed it doesn't mean he answered your prayer. Did you hear it? Did you understand that? Just because you prayed it doesn't mean he answered your prayer. I pray the bus picks me up 5 minutes early this morning. And it comes 5 minutes early. Well, see, it's what I prayed. No, they just got drank their coffee a little sooner and got there. And you have to be careful when you pray for things, because people, when they get what they pray for and then it doesn't work out, come on, then you get confused about, well, this is what I prayed for. Oh, this is the man I prayed for. This is the woman I prayed for. This is, and now what? Now what? Be careful how you pray and how you receive what you pray for. There's nothing wrong with praying for things, but be careful how you receive them. And somehow we only think that good things happen when the Spirit leads us. But I'm here to tell you, talk to Joseph. In the pit, it didn't look so good. In the end, it did. You just have to connect the dots as you go. As you go. Come get that young man, son. Yeah, but he's distracting me now. I love you, son, but I'm fixing to close this sermon.
We are led by the Spirit to connect the dots into our destiny. The Bible says that the good steps of a man are ordered of the Lord. Dot to dot, to dot to dot. Jesus chose 12 disciples, and he said one of them is the devil. And he chose him anyway. As strange as this may sound this morning, you need the devil in your life. You need the devil. If you didn't have the devil, you'd be in glory. You wouldn't be helping nobody. You wouldn't be crying out to God. It's the devil that makes you cry out. It's the devil that makes you straighten up. It's the devil that makes you know how wicked you really are. I chose 12 of them, and one of them was the devil, the son of perdition. John the Baptist heralded out, "Behold, there's one coming after me whose shoe latches I'm not worthy to bear. He will baptize." He prepared the way for the entrance of Jesus into society. Judas prepared the way for Jesus into eternity. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. One of you this night will betray me. And he went and he said, "I know where he's at. You can find him in the garden. Give me my money." You need your Judas. Because when they came to Jesus, he said, "I do you no wrong. Daily I sat in the temple, and now you come after me with swords and with staves. But it is written, lo, in the volume of the book, I will do thy will, O God. For this cause came I into the world." It was Judas that made him put his hands out, and they bound him and took him to the cross. You need the devil. First time we hear about Jesus, you know where he's at? In the wilderness. He gets baptized. Spirit descends upon him, right? And as soon as he got the Spirit, here come the devil. See, you can't have the Spirit and not be attacked by the devil. If you're not being attacked by the devil, you don't have the Spirit. It's that simple. He doesn't need to bother you. But as soon as the Spirit descended like a dove, bodily form, and it lit upon him, and it remained, here comes the devil. And the Bible says, and the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be what? Glorified. Glorified? Glorified, right? No, tempted of the devil. You can't be glorified without suffering. I'm sorry. You can't be glorified. You can't be a victor unless you're the victim sometimes. You want to be victorious? Yeah, but you got to be the victim to be victorious. Led him into the wilderness to be tempted. And after 40 days, he had eaten nothing. And when the devil saw that he prevailed not, he departed for a season. He's coming back. But he departed. And the Bible says that he sent angels and ministered unto him and built him back up. And as soon, Sister Raynell, as he was built back up, guess where he went? To that temple. He walked into the temple, and I've said it many times. He got the book, read to them the fulfillment of his calling. Connect the dots. Don't worry about hanging your Judas. He'll hang himself. Just call him friend, as Jesus did Judas. Friend, I do thee no wrong.
You need the devil to make you realize. See, the law, the Bible says the law was perfect. And it was holy, Paul called it. The law don't look so perfect. Did you know when you read the law, it never says, thou shalt pray? Did you know that, Brother Jay? The law never said, thou shalt pray. It never said, thou shalt fast. But what it did say, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy might, and all thy strength, and all thy mind. Hallelujah. And the rest will take care of itself. Everybody wants fruit without roots. Oh, I'm full this morning. I'm sorry. Everybody wants fruit without any roots. They don't want to put any roots down. Well, you know, I just do my own thing. Me and Jesus, we got our own thing going. Me and Jesus, we got it all worked out. You ever heard that song? You need to go back in time. We don't need nobody to tell us what it's all about. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And they want the fruit of the Spirit without the roots of the Spirit. He's that you are rooted and grounded in love. That's one of the fruits. Hallelujah. Folks, what you need this morning is blindness. To get all the distractions and all the other people and all the things. You know, the Bible talks about that seed that was sown, the one that got the church. Do you know the one that got the church? It wasn't the wayside. It was the cares of this life. It was the thorns. It was the weeds. And choked out the word. You see, as soon as the weeds, the tares showed up in that guy's field, they said, son, didn't you plant wheat in your field? He said, yeah, I did. Well, do you want us to go out there and pull it out? He said, no. Leave it alone until the end. Connect the dots, if you will. Because in the end, he said, the angels will separate all this stuff out, and everything that's hidden will be made manifest. Everything that's covered will be uncovered. Just connect the dots. You just keep walking and living for God. What you need this morning is the right connection to God. And when you get the right connection to God, he will connect you to the right people. As soon as Paul got the right connection with God, he had a connection, but it was the wrong connection. When he got the right connection with God, he went what? Blind. He went blind. And he said, now, there's one named Ananias. I want you to go to Straight Street, and there it will be told you what you must do. The right connection. And when he got there, he received what? And the Holy Ghost. He got his sight and he got the Holy Ghost because now he was in right connection with Christ and he got with the right people. I'll close with this morning. Anything that's interfering with you connecting to God, cut it off. It'll give you false hopes that things are getting better. And you're wasting precious time. Hallelujah. As you stand this morning, I'm so glad that you're here this morning, that you're connected to the church. I feel so connected to this church. That's why I can preach like I preach. And get on you like I get on you. And don't worry about you being mad. Because you know what? I'm telling you what. Sometimes a whipping's the best thing you can ever get. That's exactly right. I got a dog out there sometimes. Brother Woodard. Well, he'll quit. I used to could tap on the window and he knew what that meant. He knew when I tapped on that window, the next thing was a... He went deaf. He don't hear anymore. I go, hey! But I got this collar. And I still got a little belt, a little. And you know what? When I give him that little whipping, he gets peace, and I do too. He'll lay down, he'll go to sleep, and I can too. Cut relationships with people that disturb your peace. Peace is what it's all about, folks.